Welcome to the Weight Loss for Healthcare Providers podcast with Delaine MD, the podcast for healthcare professionals struggling to lose weight. If you are a physician, nurse, or other clinician looking to permanently shed those pounds, gain control, stop emotional eating, and live a fuller, more authentic, and happier life, Dr. Delaine Vaughn offers sustainable strategies and the support you need to overcome the challenges that undermine permanent weight loss. Hello, welcome back to the podcast. I'm glad you're here. Today, we are going to be talking about intentional thoughts and how to use your thoughts to create deliberate results in your life. This is the last of a four-part series that I've done on thoughts and thought models and intentional thoughts, and finally, again, how you're going to start creating the results you want in life by changing your thoughts. So briefly, let's review the thought model. If you've listened to all these in a row, this is going to seem redundant, but if you have listened to these as they come out, you'll remember that the thought model has five components. The first is the circumstance, remembering that a circumstance is a fact. It can be proven in a court of law. Everybody looks at the situation the same exact way. So a really good example, again, is the temperature outside. The temperature outside can be read on a thermometer, and everybody will agree that it's 50 degrees outside or it's 75 degrees outside. Everybody can look at that thermometer and give you the same reading on the thermometer. The next part of the thought model is the thought that comes along with that circumstance. So we have thoughts about all the circumstances that happen with us in life. Our car breaks down on the highway. We have thoughts about that. Maybe it's my stupid car broke down on the highway. That is not a circumstance. That is a thought. It's simple that your car broke down. Yes, that happened. Everybody on the highway could look at that. But whether your car is stupid and the feelings that come along with that judgment of the car breaking down is not something that everybody would agree on. It's cold outside, 50 degrees. Everybody who knows me knows that 50 degrees for me is too cold. So for me to say it's cold outside, that is not accurate. Somebody from Alaska or Canada thinks that 50 degrees is balmy and nice. That's not me. When I say it's 50 degrees and too cold outside, that's not a circumstance. That is a thought. The next part of the thought model are your feelings. So we have thoughts about the circumstances, and those thoughts drive certain feelings. So the circumstance of 50 degrees outside, my thought of it's too cold outside, my feeling of uncomfortable or unhappy because I can't go outside and do the things I want to do, that's my feeling associated with that. My car broke down on the road. My thought, my car is stupid. My feeling is frustrated, irritable, concerned that I'm not going to be able to get to where I need to be on time. All of those things are feelings. Whenever you're working through your thought models, you need to make sure or try to make sure that your feelings are one word or as brief as possible, because that will just make your thought models cleaner and easier to manipulate and work through. The next part of the thought model is your action. Your feelings drive certain actions. So my circumstance of it's 50 degrees outside, my thought of it's cold and I don't like it when it's this cold, my feeling of discomfort or unhappiness because I feel like it's too cold outside leads me to have an action of moping around the house. Your car breaking down on the side of the road and you having a thought that my car is so stupid and your feeling is irritable and agitated, and then you kick the car and break the taillight, well, then your car doesn't work any better, right? So you certainly do have a stupid car that's not great at that point. And then the fifth part is that your actions will always drive results, and those results are always tied to the original thought. So again, when we talk about that car, you know, your car broke down, the thought of your car is stupid, your feeling of frustrated and aggravated, your action to kick the taillight and then the taillights broke, well, then you're producing evidence that your car is stupid and broken down and a piece of junk, right? You've actually just created more evidence of that by breaking the taillight. For me, with the thermometer example, it being 50 degrees outside, my thought is it's too cold to enjoy the day. My feeling is to feel sad and unhappy. My action is to mope around the house. And then my result is it's too cold and I don't enjoy my days that way. I produce evidence of that. So that's a brief overview of the thought model. When we look at this, we need to recognize that awareness of our current thought model is the first step to changing our thought model. And we've talked about this. But once you get to a point that you can see that it's the original thought that's the problem, not the circumstance. The circumstance of my car breaking down on the highway is not my problem in that situation.
My problem is that I then ruminate in this idea that my car is stupid and it's a piece of junk. And that gives me the discomfort of frustration and irritability. It has nothing to do with the car. The car literally cannot do or make me feel anything. It's just a car. So you have to get to a point where you realize that it is your thoughts that are the problem. It is not the circumstance. The temperature being 50 degrees outside literally cannot make me unhappy. It cannot make me unhappy in any way. It's my thought that when it's 50 degrees outside, I don't get to go outside and do the things I enjoy because it's too cold. That's what makes me unhappy. It has nothing to do with the temperature outside. Once you can get to a point where you see that it's your thoughts, not the circumstance, that's when you can start to look for different thoughts that serve you better. This is hard for me to sell. This is a hard thing to sell because they're like, no, it's the fact that my car broke down. That's the problem. If my car wasn't going to break down, it would be fine and I wouldn't have to be frustrated. And what I want to offer you is there are certain people who love the car that they have so much that it doesn't matter whether it breaks down. So an example might be if your grandfather and you used to take joyrides in his car and have a blast with the top off of his car and you'd go get ice cream and you'd have fun together. And when your grandfather passed away, he gave you that car and you have wonderful memories of your grandfather in that car. But then that car breaks down on the side of the road. You are unlikely to say, man, that car is so stupid. Man, that's awful. This is a piece of junk car. No, because you love that car, because you have fun memories. It has nothing to do with the circumstance of the breaking down. It has to do with your thoughts, the memories, the feelings that you create towards that, right? Same thing with the thermometer outside. I see 50 degrees as too cold. My Canadian comrades, they do not see that. They see 50 degrees as a pleasant day. Man, get outside, enjoy the sunshine, because this may not happen again for a while, right? The 50 degrees is totally
neutral.
It cannot make me think anything or feel anyway. What makes me feel poorly is my thoughts that 50 degrees is too cold to go out and enjoy the day. Once you can get to a point where you can see that it's your thoughts that are the issue, it is not the circumstance, then you can start to take the first step in looking at how to have a different thought that might make your feelings, which drive your actions and your results, a little better. So examples of circumstances are bills to pay. Bills that need to be paid is a totally neutral circumstance that is not something that makes you feel cruddy, right? A lot of people will look at tax bills as something that they get angry about. Why do I have to pay this tax bill? Why do I have to do this? I see my tax bill as my opportunity at what I pay to live in this wonderful country. We live in the greatest country in the world. And what I pay in taxes is my contribution to making this country amazing, and I'm happy to pay my taxes. So again, it's not that your thoughts are wrong about it. I'm just saying that taxes are neutral. Your thoughts about paying your tax bill, that's where the problem comes in, right? Car accidents. Car accidents are neutral occurrences. They happen all the time, right? We have a lot of thoughts about that person shouldn't have been driving that way. That person should have watched where they were going and then I wouldn't have been in that accident. But the fact is, accidents happen. They are a normal experience in our human existence. Our thoughts about the accidents is what causes us to have pain, what causes us to have hurt or sorrow in our life, right? Another more emotive or emotionally charged example would be death. When somebody dies, we automatically have sad thoughts, right? Which is fine. But it is not the act of dying that causes those sad thoughts. If somebody, you know, had a heart attack and passed away and you didn't know about it, you would not be sad until you find out about it. It's the thoughts that you have about the death when you find out about it. That's what makes you sad. That's what causes you hurt. That's what causes you pain. And I'm not saying that that's not supposed to happen. That's totally supposed to happen. There are times where we want to feel sad. There are times where we want to feel sorrow because we loved somebody and we missed somebody. But it does not mean that the act of death is what caused it. Again, death is a normal experience in the human circle of life, right? So let's look at how this applies to our thoughts around food and our diet and our weight goals. So we have thoughts that I can't eat something or that I'm overweight and that's the problem. We say that these things are just like reporting the news, right? I can't eat that. That's just not on my plan. Or I'm overweight. It is what it is. Look at my body mass index. I'm in the overweight or obesity category. And we say these things like we are reporting the news, but the fact of the matter is they're completely charged with emotions. I can't eat this is carrying all sorts of undertones of woe is me, pity on me, how sad is it for me, right? Versus you have an eating plan. Your thought about that eating plan could be these foods serve my body versus I can't eat that. So if you have an eating plan and your thought is these foods serve my body, that feeling that comes from these foods serve my body is charged a lot differently, right? It's empowering, it's determined, it's embracing, it's nurturing, it's all sorts of things other than I can't eat that, which is deprivation, which is pity, which is discomfort maybe. So when we look at our food situations and we truly break down the circumstances into just circumstances, and then we look at the thoughts that come from that and look at the feelings that they drive, when you can start seeing that it's the thoughts that are causing your pain, causing your deprivation, causing your feelings of discomfort, not the foods themselves, not the plan themselves, that's when you start realizing that you're ready for a different thought. When you decide that you don't want to feel that way anymore. I don't want to feel deprived because I can't eat candy anymore. I'm sick of feeling that way. It feels crappy. I don't enjoy it. I want a different thought that gives me a better feeling because I don't want to spend the rest of my life complaining about not being able to eat candy. This takes time, but once you realize that, you can start to look for a deliberate thought that feels better. Sometimes it helps for you to deliberately choose your result and then work backwards. This is where we start to develop the opportunity to look for what results we want, put anything in that result line, and then start to work your way backwards to see what actions, what feelings would drive the actions that give you the results, and then what thoughts you would have that would give you the feelings to give you the actions that you want that give you the results that you desire, okay? This doesn't just work with food choices. This works in all parts of our lives. And this is where this work of thought work is so very important. This can be work goals. This can be financial goals. This can be family goals. This can be vacation goals. It can be anything, not just food goals, not just weight goals. So the question you're going to want to answer is how does someone who has achieved the goal that I'm working for, how do they think, how do they feel, and how do they act? Any goal that you want to achieve, this is the question you have to ask yourself. So I'm going to use a professional example. Say you're looking to get promoted within your organization. Maybe if you're nursing staff, you want to be you want to get promoted to the unit manager, okay? So your question is, what does someone who is the manager of my unit think, feel, and act? And then you go through options. Maybe she thinks, if I were the unit manager, I would want this unit to be the best unit possible. Maybe she thinks, if I were unit manager, I would always be looking for places where this unit could improve. Maybe she thinks, a good unit manager is always looking for a place to lend a hand. Then what feelings do those thoughts drive? A unit manager may feel empowered to start to look for opportunities to make that unit the best unit possible. Maybe she's always feeling service-oriented, which is driven by this idea of where can I look for a way to improve this unit or where can I look for a way to lend a helping hand wherever it needs. Maybe she feels challenged to make the unit better than it is already. And then you would look for the ways that the unit manager acts. How does a unit manager act to show that she is of service all the time? Does she look for places she can help? Does she not turn away at an opportunity to go above and beyond? Does she take ownership of the performance of the unit as a whole and do everything she can to make sure that that unit performs at the best of its ability? This is how that works. So you take the goal of what you want, what your result is, and you look to see how somebody who has achieved that goal thinks, feels, and acts. So when you're thinking of your weight goal, you're going to do the same thing. How does a woman who has achieved that weight goal think, feel, and what does she do? That's the question you're going to want to ask to get to that goal. So a person who has reached her goal does not think about how deprived she is for not getting to buffer away a rough day at work. Maybe she thinks some days are good days and some days are bad days. I should expect these should be about 50-50. She'll feel determined that even when she wants to feel bad for herself, that she doesn't allow that to happen. Not because determined is a natural feeling. No, the feeling of feeling pity for yourself, that's what was natural. But because she knows that the thought, woe is me, making her feel deprived and pity, doesn't lead to anything good for her. The girl that has reached her goal weight, she knows that. She's aware. She recognizes the crappy woe is me thought and replaces it with something else. Some days are good. Some days are bad. It's no reason when I have a bad day to not have my own back. That leads to the action of keeping her word to herself and staying on her plan and maintaining her goal weight, because that's how someone who has reached and maintained her goal weight thinks. That's how she feels, and that's how she acts to get the result that she wants. So I want you guys to look at this in your life. Look at trying to set a goal and determining how that kind of person who's already reached and achieved the goal thinks, feels, and acts. You may not be able to get right into that new thought immediately, but this is your compass, right? These thoughts, feelings, and actions, this is your compass. That's what you're going to want to work towards. It'll point you in the direction of where your thoughts and feelings and actions should be going versus where they're at right now. So obviously, this is kind of a advanced step in the thought model, right? Certainly, coaching through this helps immensely. In fact, I still work with my own coaches to orient my thoughts towards my goals. But this is how powerful your thoughts are, and this is what I want you guys to realize. This is where the magic of any of your goals come from. Even for those of us who work through college, who work through med school, who work through our advanced degrees, our masters, we weren't sitting there going, yep, I'll probably never be able to figure that out. Woe is me. No, you had the determination. I'm struggling with organic chemistry. I better go find a TA. I'd better find a tutor. I'd better go talk to the professor and figure out what the problem is with my organic chemistry. You trusted that there was a way for you to figure out the problem. You didn't just give up. That is how you get to those goals. That is how you achieve those goals. That is how it will work with your weight loss and any other goal in life. You start to change your thoughts, and you start to figure out what thoughts are going to drive you to have a determined feeling, a challenged feeling, a feeling that serves you, that gives you the actions you want. If getting help with this kind of thought work is something that you're interested in, please contact me at delanemd.com, hit the contact me tab, and set up some time with me, and we'll do a mini coaching session or a consult, and I'll show you how this works. But certainly, if you feel like you've been struggling and struggling and struggling with your weight loss and not been able to figure it out, even with the help of these podcasts or my Facebook Lives, hit me up for a mini coaching session or a consult, and we'll figure out some time and I'll show you how this works, because this is really the amazing stuff. This is really what leads to sustainable, long-lasting weight loss. So I will be back next week and talk to you guys then. Catch me on my Facebook Live on Tuesday. You guys have a great week. Bye-bye. You've been listening to the Delane MD Weight Loss for Healthcare Providers podcast with Dr. Delane Vaughn. To learn more about life and weight coaching with Dr. Delane Vaughn, visit www.delanemd.com. The bus. Ha ha. Ho ho.